Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Wednesday, June 19th. Today, with less than a week before primary election day in Colorado, money is pouring into the Republican race in the 3rd Congressional District, and you may be surprised by who is responsible for the spending. Colorado Sun political reporters break down where the dollars are coming from and what the money is aimed at accomplishing. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Pinnacle Assurance, Colorado's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Pinnacle provides caring protection that Colorado businesses can rely on as they expand across the country. From finance to robotics and Arizona to Orlando, Pinnacle's nationwide coverage goes wherever Colorado businesses grow. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. By the 1880s, Utes had lost most of their land in Colorado. Federal agents allowed them to hunt on open land due to scarce supplies on the reservation, but that led to conflicts with local ranchers. In June 1885, near Beaver Creek in Dolores County, ranchers ambushed a Ute camp, killing 6. This later became known as the Beaver Creek Massacre. In retaliation, the Utes burned a ranch, killing one man and wounding his wife. Afterward, Ute leaders and the U.S. Army met at Fort Lewis to try to repair the damage, but old ways and old prejudices weren't easily overcome. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun is partnering with multiple news outlets across the state to understand what is driving Coloradans this election year. What issues do you care about most as we head into the 2024 election? Let us know by filling out our survey at coloradosun.com/votervoices. Next, our feature story.
Good morning, Daily Sunup listeners. Welcome to another Politics Wednesday on the podcast. I'm Brian Eason, here with my fellow politics reporter, Jesse Paul. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing?
I was supposed to be on a flight to Dallas this morning to go watch the Mavs play Game 6 of the NBA Finals, but that did not work out for me. So I'm in a little bit of mourning, but, hopefully you can pick me up with some really interesting campaign finance talk. Let's go. You've been tracking some interesting spending in the Republican primary in our 3rd Congressional District, right, Jesse?
Yeah, so the 3rd Congressional District sweeps across western Colorado into Pueblo and southeast Colorado. It's a pretty Republican-leaning district, and it's picked up a lot of national attention in recent years because it's currently represented by Republican Lauren Boebert, but she has switched congressional districts, so now there are 6 Republicans who are vying to replace her in the district, and they're running for a chance to face Democrat Adam Frisch in the November election. And folks probably remember that Adam Frisch lost to Lauren Boebert by a very small margin in 2022, so there's a thought that this district might be competitive this year, even though it hasn't sent a Democrat to Congress in Washington, D.C. since 2008. So it's been a long time, and as I mentioned, it is a Republican-leaning district. But now all of a sudden, we're starting to see a lot of money pouring into the 6-way Republican primary to basically affect what's going to happen in the November general election, because whoever wins the primary here will face Adam Frisch. And if it's a weaker candidate, then Frisch might have a better chance of winning. So some of the interesting spending that's just popped up in the last, 24, 48 hours here that we're talking is from Adam Frisch, who's spending $100,000 plus on an ad attacking Grand Junction attorney Jeff Hurd in the race, and then also the Congressional Leadership Fund, which is a Republican super PAC tied to House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana, is spending a bunch of money to attack Ron Hanks, another Republican running in the race. So you've got all this money kind of flowing around, and then also there's more money attacking Ron Hanks or supporting Ron Hanks, I'm sorry, and attacking Jeff Hurd that's coming from a super PAC, the Democratic super PAC called Rocky Mountain Values Pack. So there's just a ton of money being spent on here. And let's give it a listen right now to the Adam Frisch ad attacking Jeff Hurd.
Jeff Hurd is hiding, ducking Republican debates. He won't say where he is on abortion, the Second Amendment, or building the wall. Hurd won't even say who he voted for in 2016, in 2020, or who he supports for president now. All we really do know about Jeff Hurd is he's financed by out-of-state corporate money.
All right, and now let's listen to the Congressional Leadership Fund ad attacking Ron Hanks.
Why are liberals supporting Ron Hanks? They know they can count on him. Ron ran for Congress in California, touting his radical anti-gun agenda, even abandoned President Trump. No wonder liberals love him. Now, Ron's running in Colorado, and Democrat mega donors are propping up his campaign with huge funding to elect another liberal to Congress. Locked, loaded, liberal. Ron Hanks.
So the CLF ad I'll mention is pretty misleading. Yeah, Ron Hanks, who's a former state representative who ran for Congress in California, but the accusation that he's liberal and weak on guns and Trump is pretty ridiculous if you know anything about Ron Hanks. He was one of the most conservative members of the legislature when he was a state representative, and as part of his campaign this time around, he's promising to be a Trump ally in Congress should he win in the 3rd District. So to call him a liberal is pretty misleading.
So what's the goal of all this spin?
Yeah, so it's pretty basic, right? I mean, Adam Frisch sees Jeff Hurd as a more formidable opponent in November, and Republicans think that Jeff Hurd is probably going to beat Adam Frisch should he be the Republican nominee. And so Democrats are doing all they can to prop up Ron Hanks because he's a pretty controversial figure. He stuck his foot in his mouth a lot of times at the legislature. He might not put it that way, but he said some controversial stuff when he was a state lawmaker.
But the three-fifths compromise, of course, was an effort by non-slave states to try to reduce the amount of representation that the slave states had. It was not impugning anybody's humanity. Is this really racist to be talking about what the three-fifths compromise was? I don't think so.
There's plenty of record of that. He's an election denier. He was at the January 6, 2021 rally that preceded the riot on the same day at the U.S. Capitol. He's a big Trump supporter. He's, you know, super anti-abortion. As I mentioned, he's about as far right as they come. Jeff Hurd has the backing of Republican establishment in Colorado. He's got ties to big money folks, the Americans for Prosperity, a big national nonprofit and super PAC conservative group is spending a lot of money to support him. So he's got, you know, a clear path to victory with money and name ID and, you know, big groups of folks behind them. So it's as simple as Democrats want to face Ron Hanks in November and they don't want to face Jeff Hurd. And as I mentioned, this is a Republican leaning district. So if Republicans have a non-controversial GOP run of the mill candidate, the thinking is that that person should win easily in the November election, be able to beat Adam Frisch easily. And there's plenty of signs that that's the case, right? Adam Frisch, when he was running against Lauren Boebert, liked to put out polls saying, look how close the race is. We haven't heard a peep from him since then. And I think that what I'm hearing privately is that the polling shows basically if it's a generic Republican against Adam Frisch, Adam Frisch is going to lose. So again, just another sign that this district leans Republican. You have to have a pretty controversial GOP candidate in that race for a Democrat to win.
Huh, interesting. Kind of a risky move on the part of Democrats to be propping up a candidate who is an election denier, or something that, you know, I think writ large Democrats are worried about, right? Are there national groups that are paying a lot of attention to the general election that's coming next?
Yeah, so on the first point, I'll say it's certainly ironic, right? I mean, Democrats spend a lot of time on the campaign trail saying don't elect Republicans, they're trying to undermine democracy, yet at the same time, they're spending a whole bunch of money trying to help Ron Hanks basically win the GOP primary in a district that leans Republican and that he very much could win. So that's one school of thought on this. The other school of thought is, look, any Republican who wins in this district is probably going to vote pretty similarly along GOP lines. It's one person and a very large member of Congress. And if this increases Democrats' chance of winning the district, it's a risk worth taking. But certainly it undermines, I think, the argument that Democrats make that Republicans are dangerous to democracy if you're spending a whole bunch of money to potentially assist an election denier in winning in November. In terms of the national groups, as I mentioned, Americans for Prosperity is spending a lot of money for Jeff Hurd. You've got the Congressional Leadership Fund also now spending money to help Jeff Hurd and beat Ron Hanks. And then on the Democratic side, you're seeing some national dark money groups come in. They don't have to disclose their donors, which is why we call them that, to benefit Adam Frisch on the other side. But you're not seeing a ton of play from traditional groups like the DCCC or the NRCC because they don't see this race as competitive yet. They're kind of waiting to see who the Republican nominee is. And if it is Ron Hanks, I think you're going to see a lot more spending in this district heading into November. We're talking millions of dollars whereas right now we're at maybe a million altogether. But if this district becomes competitive because Ron Hanks is the Republican nominee, I think you're going to see a lot of folks jump into the fray and try and influence the outcome.
Thanks, Jesse. Is there anything else people should know as the primary election approaches on Tuesday?
Yeah, so I'll just say if you haven't mailed in your ballot back yet, you really shouldn't do that. There might not be enough time for it to be received by your county's clerk. So they all recommend that you drop off the ballots at ballot boxes, which are in all of Colorado's counties. If you have questions about where those are, you can go to govotecolorado.com. I'll also say that we've got a ton of explainers on our website talking about how the different candidates in all of these competitive congressional races would act in Congress or would vote in Congress. So I recommend that folks check that stuff out. But also just remember to be patient on election day. The later that ballots start coming in or are returned, the longer we're going to have to wait on election night for results to be tallied. And in a lot of these races, you could see movement, from 7:30 when the first results are announced to midnight when usually county clerks send their election workers home. So just be patient in a six-way primary like the one in CD3, or there's another six-way one in CD4 as well. You might have to wait a little while for the results to be finalized just because it takes some time in close races to figure out actually who wins. I think, talking about the Adam Frisch, Lauren Boebert race, we were covering that for, I think, a month, by the time that the recount happened and the final margin of victory was actually borne out. So I will say, yeah, I think that's pretty much all you need to know. Also, go Celtics.
Absolutely not. Well, thanks, Jesse. I appreciate you joining us. And yeah, to your point, especially in these races where you may have a lot of undecided voters, still those election day votes could end up being the deciding factor. Thanks so much, Colorado Sun listeners and readers. And we'll talk to you next time. Check out ColoradoSun.com for all of our election coverage.
Go vote.
Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. An experiment to give cash to homeless people in Denver with no limits on how they could spend it led to twice as many people in stable housing. A new report says more than 800 people were selected to participate in the Denver Basic Income Project while they were living on the streets, in shelters, on friends' couches, or in vehicles. About 45% of participants who received cash through the program were living in a house or apartment that they rented or owned by the study's 10-month check-in point. A Western Slope Energy Co-op serving 30,000 people can build a big solar array and battery storage thanks to a $72 million federal loan easing a transition to solar power and away from statewide giant Tri-State Generation. Nearly $30 million of the U.S. Department of Agriculture loan is forgivable, effectively making it a grant. It will largely fund Delta Montrose Electric Association's construction of a 20-megawatt solar array and 80 megawatt hours of battery storage. The battery storage will help back up the utility's wind and solar farms, making the new array a reliable source for about 7,000 homes. Democrat Adam Frisch is spending at least $100,000 on TV advertising in the Republican primary in Colorado's 3rd Congressional District, all in a bid to help pick his opponent in November. The ad attacks Grand Junction attorney Jeff Hurd for ducking Republican debates and for refusing to say whom he voted for in the 2016 and 2020 presidential election. Frisch appears to be angling for someone easier to beat, such as former state representative Ron Hanks. Hanks is an election denier who attended Donald Trump's rally on January 6, 2021 in Washington, D.C. before the U.S. Capitol riot. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
Hi, I'm Tamara Chung, and I write about business and technology for the Colorado Sun. A large part of my beat is the Colorado economy and covering the ups and downs of losing a job, finding a job, running a business, all that fun stuff. You'll find coverage every Saturday in What's Working, and it's free because we feel all Coloradans need to know this stuff in order to stay better informed. That's how we roll here, by the way. And that's why we'd appreciate your support to help keep the Colorado Sun sustainable. If you'd like to become a member, you can just go to coloradosun.com/join today. Thanks.